praise you, we honor you, and we glorify your holy name. And I pray this day, Lord, that we take a closer look at you, Jesus. And the gospel of Jesus, Lord, we're going to look to you today in all that we can. Lord, give us insight, I pray, in your mighty name. Be with us during our worship time, O Lord, and let us open our hearts and our mouth and praise to you, I pray, in this your mighty name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Let's sing.
Thank you.
we would be honored to take this time.
Yeah.
two or three weeks ago, I got to thinking, and in the midst of that, I deal a lot with people. And when I'm dealing with people, I deal a lot with different denominations or religions. And there are, I won't say a lot, but there are religions or denominations out there that believe in Jesus being a good person. They believe in Jesus being a prophet. They believe in Jesus, you know, as another human being. But they have a hard time or do not believe in the deity of Jesus. So I thought, I wonder how many people really get confused to that and will enter into a denomination or a religious sect that feels that way, yet they don't feel that way. And so they are deceived into our Heavenly Father and His origin. Some people believe that Jesus was just another Son of God, not incarnate. That He was created just as Satan was created. And if they believe that, they're believing a lie. A bold-faced lie. So, for the next few weeks, I think it would be very imperative that everybody bring your Bible. Because we're going to go through a series and a study, okay, on the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus. Okay? So let's raise our Bible if you have one this morning. I haven't done this a little while, so I think it would be appropriate. This is the living word of God that I trust and obey. What it says is true. From Genesis to Revelations. Today, my heart is receptive. And my spirit is alive. As I learn to submit my will to His, I am forever changed, a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Matthew 1:1. Matthew 1:1. And it says in Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now God, I thank you for Jesus. And Jesus, I thank you for coming to this earth, laying down your deity and giving us salvation and redemption that we did not have before. And I pray, God, as we enter into this study, that you will help us realize who you really are, Jesus. Give us wisdom, give us knowledge, and give us acceptance of what you want to say. In your mighty name, amen. This morning, I want to take us through a study. And see, I believe, truly, truly believe that we need to focus more on Jesus. There are too many churches out there that have lost that focus and have turned their focus to so many other things. I believe we need to put our focus to Jesus. And I did have, and I'm sorry, I had a handout. Because I couldn't do the bulletin, I had a handout. but I don't know what I handed it out to. I must have handed it to someone else. So please, take your Bible, mark it up. This is a good time. We're going to go into understanding Jesus. Okay? Christ is the one we should lift up in all our preaching. Christ is the one that we should lift up in all our talking, in all our conversation, in everything that we do. We need to be lifting Jesus up. So let's take a chronological journey to find out more about Jesus. This is something I don't believe a whole lot of churches are doing today. They're laying in so many other different conversations and things, and they're leaving out Jesus. I want to bring Jesus back to the center front of who he really is. Gospel means good news, and Jesus is the good news. Amen? So when we talk about the gospel, we're talking about Jesus. You know, I've been listening for the last couple of weeks, and on my radio, I've got it, and I'm kind of taking advantage of it, because when they finally come to the point of saying you no longer can have it on my car, I have Cyrus, which you have to pay for. Well, I haven't paid for it. You know, they give you 90 days free. Then they're trying to entice you, okay? So I have been listening to Southern gospel music for 2 weeks, and I'll tell you something. I like it. I'm almost proud to be a Tennessean. It's actually starting to make me twine a little more. But Southern gospel, one thing good about Southern gospel or any country style music, you know, they have a terrific and a great message in it. So, I mean, and I travel a lot. I mean, I put on 300-400 miles a week in my car traveling to different patients and everything. So I get a lot. I listen a lot and get to listen a lot. So, and in the midst of that, I everything I'm listening to, they are uplifting Jesus. That's one thing I got to say about them. They are uplifting Jesus. They're uplifting the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus. Matthew will be our tour guide through most of this study. But we will use Mark, Luke, and John, and any other book of the Bible where they can chime in and help us. And yet, this won't be their gospel we study. This will be the gospel of Jesus. If you looked at our text today, it's all about Jesus and his chronological order. But Matthew begins with Jesus in the human form. Today, as we begin this new chronological series, we need to see Jesus in a different form. We need to see Jesus from the very beginning. Although, if you really look at it, there was no really beginning for Jesus. Because Jesus was eternal and was here before time ever existed. And this is the point we've really got to understand and make sense of, that Jesus was not created. Do you agree with me this morning? Jesus is the incarnate Son of God. We need to understand that before we can go anywhere else, because there are churches out there, there are denominations out there that are downplaying our Heavenly Father, downplaying Jesus, and making him no more than a created being. And that's an abomination to Jesus himself. Woo. Let me go on, and let's go through some scriptures this morning. And I would think that if you have the ability to underline them, please underline them. My grandson back there, he's having a great time. Woo! He's going to be a preacher like me. He's already got the voice for it. John 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning before all time was the Word. What is the Word? Christ. Jesus, I'm glad you're listening. But it's probably up there too. Okay. John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God. Are you hearing that? Sharon, please. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God Himself. Now, I'll continue on, but I want to stop there for 1 second. We have to understand, in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning. Take that first statement, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was Jesus. Okay? Now, we all got that? The Word was Jesus. And it says that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. So Jesus is right in conjunction to God. Woo. He was present originally with God. And all things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. So what is that telling you right there? What's that saying to you? That Jesus was with God in creation. Jesus was here before time existed. That is an amen corner, by the way. Now let me take you to another scripture. Can we assume now where Jesus is? Jesus is with God. Jesus is incarnate with God. Jesus is not a created being, but He is next to God in creation. Because it says that He had the ability to create anything, and everything was created through Him with God. But let's read verse 14. Verse 14, it says, and the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed His tent of flesh, lived a while among us. And we actually saw His glory, His honor, His majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from His Father. Full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Now, do you understand that? See, we're going to go through this study on the gospel of Jesus. I want you, by the time you leave here this morning, you're going to realize and understand that Jesus is not no created being. That Jesus is not just a prophet. That Jesus was not just a human being. But He was God incarnate and brought down to earth, made in the flesh for you and I. Whew, I'm glad I got a few amens on that one. See, you got to understand what took place here. It says that Jesus laid aside His glory, but not His deity. But the glorious form and the privileges of deity to become the God-man for us. Woo. He laid aside His deity. He laid aside His deity with His Father to come and take on human flesh for you and I. Now that should make you think. Why would anyone, as a deity head, want to come down here and help you and I? We are a poor state of human beings. We are. We're a poor state of human beings. Why would he do that? And let's find out why. Okay? Let's find out why. Today I'm going to give you some samples of what, why he did that, who he really was. Number one, it talks about his glory. So let's talk about glory. Glory. But John said he beheld his glory. Right? Well, that was done during the transfiguration of Jesus, when Jesus was transfigured. John saw the transfiguration and he said, I beheld his glory. Whoa! That's something right there. And Jesus himself said he laid aside his glory for you and I. John 17:5 in the King James Version says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world even existed. Now, I might need to say that again, because you guys got to understand the glory of our Lord. And it says, and now, what does that mean? Now. That doesn't mean tomorrow. That doesn't mean yesterday. But it means now. O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee. So what does that say? He's saying, glorify me now. Glorify me now because of the glory I had before when I was with you, O Lord. See? So he's getting and putting it in place to let you know that he is glory. Jesus is glory. Woo! You understand that? Here at the beginning, before time existed, we find Jesus. The word that comes to mind is glory. It's the answer to any question we may have. Who is Jesus? He is glory. Where is he? In glory. What was he like? Glorious. What does glory look like? Now that's a good question. If we were to be able to acknowledge the full glory of the Lord, the full glory in our human state, we would die. We could not handle the full glory of our Father. Even John beheld the glory of God from a distance. It wasn't right there. So, I believe that God wants to give us a glimpse or a portrait. And kind of, I want to give you the example of it. If you will turn with me, 2 Corinthians 4:6. And let's look at the glory of Jesus. I'll wait until you get there. 2 Corinthians. These are good scriptures to underline if you can or whatever, or circle it. I mean, my Bible always gets underlined, circled, and whatever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Do you get that? God commanded light to shine out of darkness. Was the world in darkness? Come on, hang with me there. So the world was in darkness, and God understood the darkness, so he had to bring light to shine in the darkness. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when they looked upon the face of Jesus Christ, they looked upon glory. Say that with me, glory. So when you have a vision, and I know we can have visions. I've heard of people that have had visions. When you get a vision of our Lord Jesus, you're getting a vision of the face of Jesus and the glory of God that shone through Jesus' face. Hallelujah. So the glory that walked on earth for 33 years was Jesus. He was glory. Hallelujah. We can't go any farther this morning until we assimilate and understand glory. And when you can understand that, every day you walk from this day forward, you'll get a better understanding of Jesus. The glory incarnate. Glory. Hallelujah. See, that should make you a little excited. When you get down and out, say glory. When you get depressed, say glory. Because when you say glory, you're saying Jesus. Because he is glory. He is glorious. He's in glory where we're going to soon be. And I do believe that. This world cannot continue to go the way it's going. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God. The sole expression. The sole expression of the glory of God, and he is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. Oh my goodness, you should take Hebrews 1:3 and underline that one. Now, I just gave you a paraphrase. The scripture's a lot longer. I just paraphrased it to let you know that it is the sole expression of the glory of God. Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God, and he's the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. John 17:22 says in the King James, "And the glory which you gave me," oh, I like this. Oh, I really like this. "The glory that God gave Jesus, I have given them." Uh-oh, who's them? You got that? "That they may be one just as we are one." What's that saying to you? What's that telling you? Right there, what's that telling you? The glory, what? That's right. And that his glory is your glory. So if his glory is your glory, no matter what you go through, you got glory there. No matter how depressed you get, no matter how down and out you get, no matter how the world comes at you at every angle, no matter what Satan tries to throw at you, you got the glory with you. You got the nature of God's glory with you, because Jesus just said it. Does Jesus lie? So if he doesn't lie, what's that saying? And that you are one with him, and that his glory is your glory. Woo! Do you get it? And I just got through one attribute of Jesus. You can have the glory of Jesus no matter what you go through. You can have the glory of Jesus no matter how struggling you're going through. No matter how many jobs you lost. Or how many jobs you have. Do you understand that? You can have the glory of Jesus if you have no pennies in your pocket. You can have the glory of Jesus if you got $1 million in your pocket. And it's no prerequisite to the Lord. Because you got to understand, money doesn't mean nothing to God. Amen? Please follow along, because I'm only taking you to one. I got six more to go. The second one of the tribute to our Lord Jesus is love, because Jesus is love. John 17:24 says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have entrusted to me as your gift to me may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, your love gift to me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. Now, I did that in Amplified only because, woo! There's so much in that that teaches you. And I'm teaching. Do you understand? I'm teaching today. I'm trying to teach today. So I'm trying to give you examples of God's glory, God's love. God wants to implant His love in you. His love was given to Him in the foundations of this world, and He wants you to understand what I have, you can have. The love that I possess, I freely give. Love existed before time as well. And God is love. And John 3:16 shows how God loves us. While we were sinners, He sent His glory our way. Woo! Love is eternal. It has always been, and it always will be. It was not invented by humans. I'm going to have to say that again. Because in our society, people want to assume that they create love. I have the ability to love, or I have the ability to hate. Yes, you do. But you don't have the ability to create love because it was already created before time even existed. God created it before time existed and presented it to his son. His son brought love here, and love is here now. We just have to embrace it. When you embrace Jesus, you embrace love. You can have love in a world that's a hatred. You can have love in a world that's full of hate. You have to embrace it. Because the devil is not love. The devil is the opposite of love. The devil is hate. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy, right? The Lord Jesus doesn't. Because of love. Because He loved you and I more than His own deity. He loved you and I more than His own glory. He stepped down from glory to show you love. He stepped down from glory to show you an example of glory. Because He knew that you could not handle the full power. You have to, even in the Old Testament, when the people got a little upset with Moses, said, we're tired of you being our leader. We want to see God. We want to see God. We want to see the glory. So God said, fine. As He drew closer and closer, what did it do? It got Him so afraid that we don't want to see Him anymore. If God could do His full glory to you, you'd probably be like the Israel nation. Yo, please don't. But see, you saw the impression of Jesus. That's the impression of glory. You saw the impression of Jesus, and that's the impression of love. Jesus is glory. Jesus is love. Ooh. But it goes even farther. Not only is He glorious, not only is He truly love, He is grace. Grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. I'll give you a second to get there. Because I really want you to take, please, and I'm telling you now, bring your Bibles next week. If you forgot them this week, and you say, well, Pastor, you show it up on the screen. Yeah, I do. I do. But it would be so much better that you take your Bibles and start marking them up. Because these are scriptures that shows the deity of our Heavenly Father. I think you need to know that because you're going to be combated over why are so many of our people being deceived today? And these are good, loving people. I'm not going to tell you what denomination I'm talking about, but I'm appalled. I'm appalled that they claim that they read from this Bible. I'm appalled that they say they use this Bible as part of their Bible when they don't recognize the deity of our Lord Jesus. Because He is deity. He is Godhead. He is not a created being. Okay? He was here at the beginning, and He'll be here at the end. But I like this scripture in 2 Timothy 1:9. If I may, I'll say it in the Amplified, but follow me in whatever version that you might have. For it is He who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself holy. There's that word again. And leading to holiness, to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it. Not because of anything of merit that we have done, but because of and to further his own purpose and grace, unmerited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus again before the world began, eternal ages ago. Jesus has always been the embodiment of grace. Grace has always existed. See, I'm trying to help you understand that we're before time even started, Jesus was here. Before time even started, glory was here. Before time even started, love was here. Before time even started, grace was here. All who are saved by... Let me try that again. For all who are saved by... It's not by anything you did. You can't work it. You can't puff it up. You can't try to work it out. You can't do it in your own means. It's by the grace of God that existed before time existed. Grace existed. Are you following me? Now let me take you to the next one. Not only do we have glory, love, grace, but we have wisdom. And by all means, do you need wisdom? We all need wisdom. Solomon, when he was asked the question by God, what do you desire out of anything? I'll give you it. This is God talking to Solomon. I'll give you anything. Solomon, in his wise choice, I don't want any money. I don't want any length of age. I want wisdom on how to work with the people that you have entrusted me to. And that impressed God so much that he gave him that wisdom. Wisest man on earth. And then provided him all the others. The riches, the glory, everything else. And I'm sorry to say, the riches is what took him down. The riches can, if you don't know how to handle them, if you don't know how to handle them, money will take you down. See? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not downing money. I'm downing if you take money like Solomon, God gave him wisdom. You think he would have used that wisdom on how to use the money that God also allowed him to have. But he was foolish on the money, wise to God. And other things. But money can take you down. Why did you say that, Pastor? Well, God, I'm trying to instruct our people this morning that it's okay to have money, but use it wisely. Oh, okay. Wisdom. Only God could conceive of this wonderful plan to share his glory through love and grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. And it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. Before the world. Before time. Before anything else took place. Wisdom was there. Do you understand that? Proverbs is a book of wisdom. and makes it clear that our glorious, loving, and graceful Savior is forever embodied in wisdom. Proverbs 3:19 says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens." I'm going to say that one more time. The Lord, who? The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. Okay? And by understanding, he established the heavens. So that should mean we would understand that Jesus was all wise. That Jesus had the wisdom to know what to do and what not to do. Jesus, through his wisdom, founded the earth. God and Jesus were together. They put this earth into existence together. And from that, they put the heavens in existence. Woo. So now we have wisdom. But let's go one more stage. We have glory. We have love. We have grace. We have wisdom. But I believe none of that would do any good if we didn't have the promise. The promise. The promise. Look to your neighbor and say, "Hey, Jesus promised me something." Now, you look back and say, "Well, what did he promise you?" If you take a look at Titus 1:2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." Did you know the promise was laid out before this world even became in existence? The promise was laid out for you and I. And Jesus is the promised one, right? If he is the promised one, does he keep his promises? Maybe I better say that again. Does Jesus keep his promises? His promise to you and I is redemption. He paid the price. He did it. He became the promise to you and I that you have the ability through the promises of our Heavenly Father from the very beginning of time to time, before time even became in existence, before this world came in existence, there was a promise that God made to Jesus and Jesus made to you and I. And that promise is to have eternal life. Do you like that? Every one of you this morning, you have the ability and the promise made by Jesus to have eternal life and to spend eternal life with your Heavenly Father in heaven. You get to spend it in glory. If you don't get anything else out of this message, get the word glory. And you go around all day today and say glory. You know, that will definitely bring questions to other people around you. But when they hear that word glory, I know they'll ask, "What are you talking about?" And there you go, opens up an avenue of witness. Glory! So now we go further. The promise. It's the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. Revelation 13:8 says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage." Does that scripture say only the born again Christians will do this? You see, are you reading this? If my Bible is the Word of God, it's telling me every human being on this earth will at one time have to fall down in adoration to Jesus. Woo! Are you getting this? Everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain and sacrificed from the foundation of the earth. What that is telling me, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're an atheist, an agnostic, or somebody that doesn't even believe in Jesus. There's going to come a day. I always like to use that word, whoever last laughed last best. So you understand who's going to be laughing last on this one. When they see all those atheists having to bow before Jesus. When you see all those agnostics having to bow before Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay? When you see the devil himself having to bow before Jesus and give him honor and give him praise and give him glory. My goodness, that should make you want to shout. Because there's going to come a time when everyone will bow before the Lord. The Lamb that was slain for you and I. And number 7, the last, is the choice. Ooh, the choice. We were given the choice before time existed. Did you know that? It says in Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him. Now listen to this. You get this? Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. He chose you and I before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you understand this? All, everything I have told you this morning, all took place before the world took place. Before time existed. Whom has God chosen? That was a good answer. I'm very sorry that it was only one person that said that. Whom has God chosen? You. Us. He chose to share his glory with all who would receive it. God so loved the... He didn't just... I love just the Christians. I'm just... putting it to the particular people in the world. And if you're not a Christian, I don't love you. I'm sorry. I'm going to pop your bubble right now. God loved the world. The world. This whole earth. Everyone. He loved every one of you and I. He loved you. And because he loved you, he chose you. That should make you feel a little privileged. That should make you feel a little privileged. It's by grace that anyone can be saved. We have the choice to claim his promise and to accept the sacrificial blood of the Lamb. But you know, it's awesome to think that God knew me and you before there was time. That's a little mind-boggling. He knew you before you were born. He knew you before time existed. He knew you. He chose you before that time even existed. And he cares enough about all the details, including the choices that we make. For our perspective... our choices haven't been made. We have a free will and a clean slate ahead of us. I preached that 2 weeks ago, by the way. You all have a clean slate. It's wiped clean. God's saying, okay, now, with that clean slate, what are we going to do? Are we just going to step back, become a hermit, and do nothing? Or are we going to start writing things on that slate? What can I do for the Lord? What can I do for the Lord? See, we are the sum total of the choices we make. You are the sum total of the choices you make. But did you know that God already knew your choice at the very beginning of time? But God chose not to make you a robot. God chose to let you have your will. That's what we call free will. Okay? But in that free will, he truly knows what our choices should be and what they will be if we follow his will. You understand all that? See, God doesn't say eeny, meeny, miny, mo. He doesn't put it on a, you know, on a chalkboard and say this one's going to and this one isn't. He chose all of you. He chose you. You're special. You're special. You are special to God. Don't let any devil in hell take that from you. Don't let any devil in hell say, you're not special. You're a nobody. See, that's what the world wants to imply upon you. As a Christian, they down Christians every day and put you down to say that you're a nobody. You are nothing. You're a wimp. You're a baby. You Christians, you know, they down Christians so much that they don't know what's behind the Christian walk. It's not easy to be born again. It's not easy to live for the Lord. But I tell you something. The benefits are glorious. I'm almost done. 2 Peter 3:9. Oh, you gotta look this one up. Come on, because you gotta underline this one. This one's a good one. This one's a good one. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us. And I say that very long, because you guys really need that long-suffering. We all do. Thank goodness for that one word, because that lays it out. That long suffering. He looks at some of the things we do, and I know he's just shaking his head up there saying, oh my goodness, how much more long suffering am I going to have to do for these people? But he's long suffering towards us, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you underline that? Underline that. And then when you meet somebody that one of these agnostics, read them that scripture. It's because of his long suffering. Praise the Lord. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever believes. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you understand that? Anyone can be saved. The chosen are all who will choose him. The elect are all who elect to receive his salvation. The chosen is anyone that'll choose the Lord. The elect is anyone that'll receive salvation in the name of the Lord. Anyone. Anyone. Everything I've preached so far today is what we know about Jesus before there was time. But then, he created time, didn't he? He created time. He led the foundation for all that is. Jesus. I'm going to give you some more scriptures quickly. I'll just take these down if you can and read them later. Hebrews 1:10 says, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Whose hands? Jesus. Nothing was made without him. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Are you kidding these? This is Jesus. Jesus. By him God made everything. Hebrews 1:2. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. All was created by him and for him. 1 Corinthians 1:16 and 17 says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, that are visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Are you getting this? He created all things, Ephesians 3:9 says, "and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." We were created by him. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, the one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." Are you getting these scriptures? This is the Word of God. This is why it's so important to read his Word. Because there's going to be people out there that are going to tell you a lie. And if you believe a lie, you'll be another Jim Jones experience. Another Calabine experience. When you believe a lie and not get into the Word yourself. I'm not talking about some other word. I'm talking about the Word of God. The Word of God. Written by God through men. Get into it. Read it. And I'm giving you a ton of scriptures today. And the reason why I'm doing that is to enlighten you. To help you understand. To teach you that this is a vital book written by God for the chosen one. You are the chosen one. You've been chosen by God. You've been chosen. You haven't been left out on left field. You've been chosen. You're not here by happenstance. You're not here for fire insurance. At least I hope not. You're here because you want to learn. You're here like I'm here. You know how much trouble I had trying to put this message together? You know, the devil didn't want it. Blew out my own computer. I ought to beat him up. You know, but I don't. That's where the love comes in. I'll just go there and correct it, but God gave it back to me. I was able to get the patience to put it somewhere else where I could bring it back in, lay it on my laptop, and lay it in. But I spent time to let you know. Hallelujah. He is the beginning of creation. And I like this one. Revelation 3:14, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. It's true that the babe in the manger wasn't the beginning, but just the next chapter in him who is timeless. He was killed at the hands of sinful mankind, but that wasn't the end. Just another chapter." In this verse from Revelation is about the Alpha and the Omega. He who is the beginning and the end. And yet even at the very close of God's word, it's not the end. It's only the beginning. Only the beginning. When we leave this earth, when you exit this earth, you exit into eternity, a new beginning. A beginning that will last forever and ever and ever. And that's Jesus, and that's you. Next week, let's take Jesus in the Old Testament. See, you guys don't understand. He was in the Old Testament. Our Jewish friends and Jewish loved ones haven't figured that out. But Jesus was in the Old Testament. So I want to take you and teach you about Jesus in the Old Testament. Sharon, come. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day, for helping me get through this message. And God, as we progress on, and we begin to learn and understand you, Jesus, more than we've ever understood you, Lord, that you were there from the beginning of time, and you'll be there to the end of time, as we know it. And that just starts a new beginning of time that will last for eternity upon eternity. Lord, I pray, help us. Help us. Help us, Lord, understand that. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I do want to give an opportunity for anyone, any of you out there that said, Pastor, you hit ground. You hit payday, pay dirt. And I understand now more than I ever understood about Jesus. And I know I really need to know him. I want to be one of those chosen ones. And I feel I need just a little more prayer of understanding. Will you pray with me? If that is you this morning, I will pray with you. I will not embarrass you, but I will pray with you for the power of God to help you realize you are the chosen one. Anyone. Then you settled it with God. Now I say, as being that chosen one, you worship with God. So, I'm going to open these altars for you. Please feel free to come. Feel free to come and give God all. Give Jesus all because he deserves it all. And let's spend a few minutes in praise and in worship and in prayer. Right.
Jesus. Something.